gavel item, so Carla, I'm not asking for the roll yet. This is a pre-gavel proclamation in honor of one of our most esteemed local artists, and that's Mr. Asaka Shamsuddin, sir, could you just sort of wave in the back so people can see you? Thank you for being here. And this is a proclamation that was brought to me by Commissioner Hugh Daly. And a proclamation, sir, is something that we read on behalf of the entire city council. And if you wouldn't mind just coming up here, sir, and sitting here at the rostrum, I'd like to have the honor of reading this proclamation on behalf of the Portland City Council. And before I begin, I just want to acknowledge that the office of the mayor has long had one of your works prominently displayed in the office. And it's one that has provoked a lot of thought. It's brought a lot of joy and a lot of color to our office, and we're appreciative for that. And we also have one of your works hanging in the Rose Room, which is our primary ceremonial space in City Hall. And we're so grateful to you and for your artistic talent and everything you do for the city of Portland. So on behalf of the Portland City Council, whereas Asaka Shamsuddin, the sixth of 14, whose parents worked as tenant farmers, moved to Vanport near Portland, Oregon in 1947 after a racist lynch mob attempted to kill his father in Texas. He was declared a child prodigy at an early age and won a scholarship to the Portland Art Museum. This was the beginning of decades of amazing educational experiencing using art to build a global consciousness towards social change. And whereas Black families that located to Vanport and became displaced by the flood continued to experience racism in Portland and have historically experienced intergenerational discrimination and displacement. Art has always been a bridge towards influencing systematic racism for policy change. Civic engagement during the civil rights era attracted the younger artist Asaka Shamsuddin as he left Portland for the South to become a member of the SNCC Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, organizing in Arkansas for years before heading west to San Francisco, where he later supported movements using his artistic platforms with the Black Artist Repertory Theater and as a Black Panther. But even before the floods and the 60s civil rights work, Black arts in Portland was a thriving force for civil rights and social change. And whereas the stories told by Asaka using art, theater, and music enhanced and created a signature value representing the life, families, work, and culture shared by original descendants of Black Portland, and this is an important element that is not always acknowledged when telling the stories of Portland's Black history, except for the medium of art. And whereas today on this and every thereafter June 19th, known as Juneteenth, is promoted in Black communities across this country as acknowledgement and to celebrate the emancipation of all Black Americans. It is emancipation and freedom of expression that we receive these gifts in the artistic genius of Asaka Shamsuddin, accompanied by his notes and liberated archives. His perspectives on the courage of Juneteenth is cemented in Oregon, on walls throughout the city, on our streets, and even in our parks and transit ways. It is because of the contributions of Asaka Shamsuddin that we have the intentional access of his experiences and direct education. Asaka has now shared his gift with us, a collection of his work, including a piece made at the former Albina Arts Center, which has inspired the limited edition Juneteenth calendar, a legacy project presented and supported by the Arlene Schnitzer Foundation and many friends. And whereas today all Portlanders are encouraged to tell stories of social change using literature, photos, and art, you are encouraged to reflect on the spirit and motivation of all Black people in the fight for human rights and dignity. Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, the mayor of the city of Portland, Oregon, the city of roses, do hereby proclaim June 19th, 2019 to be Asaka Shamsuddin Day in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this day. Thank you, sir. Commissioner Udaley.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say that this acknowledgement is a long time coming and very well deserved. Your work is part of Portland and part of all of our lives, as the mayor mentioned. It's not only documents the lives of the region's Black families, it's also grounded in the history of our region, which is both inspiring and abhorrent. Thank you for all that you do, Isaka. We're honored to proclaim June 19th or Juneteenth as Isaka Shamsuddin Day. And I want to give special thanks to Teresa Rayford, Tia Carpenter, and Tiffany Burnett from Artists for Black Lives for partnering with my office on this special celebration. I also wanted to mention Isaka's new Juneteenth calendars, which feature some of his most famous pieces coupled with regional Black history. They are for sale online. I regrettably don't know the website, but they're also available at this evening's event. So everyone, please join us in the atrium at 5:30 for our evening celebration and exhibit. And congratulations.
Thank you.
If we could take a photo real quick.
Great. Maybe just come up here.
Thank you.
May I?
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Would you like to say something, sir?
I'd like to share.
The photos can go to Carla.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank
something
you.
With you. And thank
you.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and Amanda, Fritz, Chloe, especially your office that reached out to me. And Nick Fish, who was represented my sister at one time. You probably don't know that was my sister, but Mariah Taylor.
Sure.
And
thank you.
This is an opportunity that I'll tell you, I've almost pride myself. I say almost because I have the humility to know that you can get sucker punched sometimes on my self-defense. But this time, I didn't have anything to defend because they hit me with a cold cock, and it was sweet. It was in the form of Bird, and some of you know her, and Teresa Rayford and the wonderful people who work with her, Fendi Germany, and many others that have coalesced within the community that see the values, that see the young talent and work with the young talent that we have here to send them on a trajectory that will allow them to explore art, to explore art. I'd like to make just one little, I tend to be lengthy, so I'll keep that in mind and keep it short. But some of you may have known that Hitler was an artist, a frustrated artist. How many of you knew that George Washington Carver was also an artist? An artist who had to change directions because the art school that he had was enlisted in, that he got a scholarship to, didn't realize he was Black. Maybe it was the University of Iowa. And then he matriculated to Tuskegee after that. I brought that up to say that many times in the challenges that art presents, I didn't know what an artist was, even when I was 8 years old and people started making a fuss about my drawings and so forth. But there's so many challenges that an artist, once you get into it, I didn't know how to draw good. So I attempted new ways. I attempted to draw horses because I was scared I couldn't draw horses. I put off drawing people because I was scared. And then you challenge and you challenge and you challenge. And you find these small accomplishments, large at that time, add up. They add confidence. They add a form of independence. They they develop a self-critique and a critique of the surroundings, of our environment. Not only representational art, but also art that explores any medium, any idea. And these are therapeutic and very functional ways of getting a child into a track where other things don't really, I mean, things like hanging out, doing nothing, they don't appeal to them anymore. Look forward to each day. I'm alive today, probably. All my brothers are gone. There were 14 children, all my sisters except two. And many others that I know and have known that have quit in the quest of becoming an artist because they didn't have a route. They didn't have patronage. They didn't have mentorship. We need an art center here. We need, if you could take a peek at this, this is a scholarship program that I started when I was teaching at Portland State. We need opportunities for our youth. Many of them may have and do have the kinds of the material within them to do amazing things. You can't predict that they won't, but we can predict that they will grow out of feelings of not knowing what to do with themselves, feelings of displacement, feelings of not belonging. And that's, those are the things that have propelled my concentration on African-American history. I knew only about white people all the way through school. I had one black instructor all the way through to the 12th grade. And I only learned about European peoples. That's all I learned about. Just a little hit of on slavery. And I think all of you have been here long enough to know that we had a real fight just to have two streets named after black folks. Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill now, we have that situation in front of us. We need reparations. And if I present a challenge to you all, with all respect, and also an appeal to help us establish an art center here that will be ongoing, not one of these things where we have to fight every year so hard. What I propose is we need a task force to resurrect the Albina Art Center and make it better than it ever was. But if we had something like a WPA project where artists can build on the research, working with chroniclers, working with writers, working with photographers, to start a whole series, at least 5 years in the initial stage, of making art in all forms that have to do with historical research, our own. There's a project that I did at Dawson Park right now, and it has about 80 portraits of African Americans, local, and that have lived in this area, that have done things that really have made our lives, all of our lives, so much better. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. How can we enrich this city? We can enrich this city by investing in those people. Did you know Jacob Lawrence was artist in residence at the Art Museum here in 1966? If we had the Art Museum, if the Art Museum was really hooked up, and that was one of the problems, I was an instructor at that Art Museum, a volunteer instructor, was that the funding was so much of a problem. It finally, it caved in, I think it was 1977, and nothing since. And so I just appeal to you for that, and I hope I haven't spoken too long. Did you know the Diego Rivera's daughter was here also? And then she came here in support of the African American Visual Arts Scholarship. We did benefits at Kennedy School, at the old church, and so forth. Anyway, I hope we'll be able to meet later and really get into this, because the Albina Mural Project of, and I'll shut up after this, but the Albina Mural Project in 77-78 attracted people from as far away as Germany. It's in a book called Community Murals now, that, and Walls of Heritage, Walls of Pride. But that wasn't in my head. I had no idea that that would happen. I guarantee you that you will be paid many-fold. If you will please throw in all the way. Thank you, Chloe. Thank you, Pollyanne Verge. Thank you, Teresa Rayford, and all the other wonderful people who have made this happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm getting a photo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Should we look
okay.
this way?
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
You want the kiddos to be here? Yeah, so y'all go follow Mr. Tucker.
All right, everyone look here.
It's Halloween, I'll smile.
Say cheese.
Got it.
Awesome.
Hey, who stole my gavel?
Okay.
I see what's going on
here. I did not touch that gavel. I don't know.